In some cases, we don't want, but we still have to deal with them. And we still have to deal with them and make sense out of what's happening in terms of our relationship with the Lord. Now, if we knew where these troubles were coming from, or the source of the problem, that might help us to deal with it. Now, there's certain myths that are out there of where these problems come from. Myth number one is that this problem, John 9, chapter 9, verse 2, the Pharisees say to Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Because that was the Pharisees' idea. Their idea was that if you have sickness, if you have a problem in your life, you sinned. And if not you, your parents sinned. And that's a myth. That's a false doctrine that the Pharisees had that Jesus corrects in John chapter 9. Now, it is true in Hebrews chapter 12, from verses 5 through 11, it talks about the discipline of the Lord. The Lord will discipline us, but He'll discipline us to correct us. Punishment is usually done in anger. Punishment is usually done within the family context when somebody loses control. And they're out of control, and they get angry, and they say things that they wish they hadn't said. Discipline, and certainly discipline from God, and certainly human discipline, should always be done in love. There's discipline, and that old saying, you know, it hurts me more than it hurts you, but it should be done in love. To bring correction, to bring growth in the life of the person who's being disciplined. And that's why God disciplines us, to bring correction and to bring growth in our relationship with Him. But it's a myth that says, if you're sick, that means you've sinned. Another myth that's out there is that pain is bad because it's non-productive. There can't be anything good out of pain or out of hardships. Well, you know, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 talks about the value that God can bring into a person's life by going through hard times or tough times. Another myth that you hear on TV a lot is on TV and out west, is that pain in your life is the result of spiritual failure. You're sick because of something you've done that's wrong, and that's just a myth. The health and welfare gospel will preach that, and that's wrong. That's not the basis of some of the illnesses or some of the problems and the hardships that we have. Look at, for a second, at the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the land of Uz there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright, and he feared God. In chapter 1, some stuff happens to Job that nobody votes for. Nobody. And yet he was a righteous man. In verse 22, after these things happened, it says, in all these things, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. So things happened in Job's life that were not because of spiritual failure. In fact, it was because he was walking with the Lord. The fourth myth is that that bad things happening to us is incompatible with a all-loving, all-knowing, all-caring, all-powerful God. That if God wanted to take it away, He could. And the classic example of this was Rabbi Kushner's book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Rabbi Kushner's son had a disease that usually just attacks Jewish males, where it's an aging disease, and it's horrible. It's a horrible disease. And your boy will die at 6 years old, but his body will function like he's 80 years old. And it's just a horrible aging disease. And Rabbi Kushner's son had this disease. And as he worked through all of this, he came to the conclusion that yes, God is all loving, and yes, God cares, but God is not all powerful. Because God, who was all powerful and all loving, would not let this happen to my son. So he wrote a book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, which basically presents this idea of God, that he loves you and he cares about you. Just sorry for this news, but he's not all powerful. He can't do anything about your situation. Somebody got a hold of that and then, of course, wrote the corollary book, When Bad Things Happen to God's People. But it came off of Rabbi Kushner's book. Well, these are myths that are out there, that it's punishment, that it's non-productive, that it's a result of spiritual failure in our lives, and it's incompatible with an all-powerful God. These are myths as to where our hardships come. If you look at it from the perspective of the source of pain, directly, it's probably, we could say, it was from Satan or from sin. Because God created a perfect earth. God created an earth to display his character. Psalms 19:1 talks about the glory of creation. Genesis 1 and 2, after every day, he said, and God looked at it and said, it was good, it was good, it was good, it was very good, when he created man. God created a perfect earth. It was in keeping with his perfect character. He created man. He gave man a choice. Genesis 3, you know the story of the choice. So in Genesis 3, Adam has a choice of sinning and disobeying a command of God or obeying the command of God. And he pulls an oops. He pulls a us. He chooses sin. And when he chose sin, then all of creation was affected. Turn over in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. In verses 21 and 22, Paul writes, and he says, that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning and in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. So, when Adam sinned, all of creation was affected. Disease, sickness, death, all started because Adam chose to rebel against God. Now, Satan was behind that temptation, obviously, and laid the trap, and Adam chose to sin. But all the disease and all the sin and all the sickness that we have can be traced back to Adam. Now, sometimes when hard times hit us, sometimes when a crisis comes in our life that we wouldn't vote for, we end up blaming God. We say, God, why did you allow this? God, why did you let this happen to me? So really, we ought to raise our hand and blame ourselves. Because if we hadn't sinned in Adam, that disease wouldn't be here. The earth wouldn't be decaying. We brought all this on ourselves through the energy and through the help and through the temptation from Satan. So this is our fault. Now, indirectly, you might say, well, God is sovereign, and he didn't have to allow Satan to do that. He didn't have to let that happen. Well, take a look at Job chapter 1 again. And turn it to Job chapter 1, verse 6. One day when the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them, the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge about him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and his herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch forth your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to his face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And then the rest of this chapter talks about what Satan did under the direction of the sovereignty of God and God allowing him to do certain things. But the encouraging thing about this, not sure it was encouraging to Job as he was going through it, but as we look back on it, the encouraging thing is that God set limits on Satan. He did not give Satan the freedom to do whatever he wanted. He said, "You can do this, you can't do this." Now, this scene repeats itself a couple more times in the book of Job, where, you know, God says to Satan, "And you can do this, but you can't do this. And you can do this, but you can't do this." So there are limits as to what Satan can do to us, how he can tempt us, the ways in which he can tempt us. He doesn't have free rein in our lives. So that when Paul writes 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there is no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man, that God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able, and he is faithful to give us a way of escape, that comes back, and that principle comes all the way back to Job chapter 1, where Satan wasn't allowed to do whatever he wants. Now, that needs to be encouraging to us, because that tells me that God is never going to put me into water over my head. God is never going to allow me to be in a situation that if I draw on his resources, they won't help. That any time I draw on his resources, they will help, because he won't let me get in over my head in a temptation. See, it's like going on a trip. I pack my suitcase and I run by my wife and we have a checklist and she tells me all the things I forgot and then I put them in. And, okay, so my bag is packed. Well, spiritually my bag is packed. And God knows what's in my bag, and he knows who I am, he knows my weaknesses, he knows my strength, he knows what I can handle, what I can't handle. And he will not allow Satan to tempt me above that the resources that are in my spiritual bag are available for me to draw on. Now, do I still have to draw on them? Yes. But the resources are there. So that's got to be encouraging to us, that when we're tempted, we don't have to say yes. that God has equipped us with the spiritual resources that we can say no. But there is this interaction between Satan and God. And Satan asks for permission for some things, and God says, okay, but he puts limits on those things. So in one way you could say that the source is Satan, indirectly maybe God, and certainly for the source is us. We're the ones who sinned. We're the ones who disobeyed God and brought all of this calamity on the human race. Now sometimes the avenues that sometimes problems come to us is sometimes things just happen. Sometimes there's no explanation for it. It just happened under the sovereignty of God's directing in a person's life. I had a friend of mine in our church in New Jersey, and he was a chiropractor who was a health freak, a nut. I mean, I don't think the man ate one bad thing in his life. I don't think he had a piece of candy. I really don't. I mean, he exercised. We played basketball together back when I had knees and I could. He ate perfect. He would come to a church dinner and he would bring stuff that, you know, in the potluck that nobody would eat because it was healthy. It was great stuff. And everybody would just, you know. He got sick one day, and they did some tests. They opened him up and found his whole body full of cancer. He didn't do anything to himself that would cause this. It just happened. And sometimes life's that way. Sometimes it just happens. We live in a sin-cursed earth that we caused, and it just happens. Now, we're going to have to deal with things like that sometimes. Sometimes things happen to our lives that we don't choose for because of our disobedience. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, it says, if you suffer for doing evil, get used to it. You deserve it. You reap what you sow. Okay, great example of that biblically is Jonah. Jonah went through some things in his life that he didn't vote for, but he disobeyed God. Eventually, Jonah got corrective, and then God used him, but he went through a period of his life that was the result of his sin, result of disobedience. Sometimes when we sin, sometimes we lose our temper. People out west lose their temper, and they holler and scream, and it's a big problem in the family because of my temper. But it's not my. If you didn't do it, I wouldn't be mad at you, you know. But you know, it's my fault, not you know. But there's damage that is done. There are results of that kind of an angry person. That kind of a person that is just angry about life. It's disobedience, and there's results that come with that. You get addicted to pornography, and it's sin. And yet, there are results that you will suffer because of that kind of a sin. Sometimes we bring the hardships on ourselves because of our disobedience to God. God says, don't do this. We do it. We reap what we sow. The reaping is not easy. Reaping is painful, but we've done it to ourselves. A little harder to deal with is sometimes the disobedience is by other people. Other people sin, and we get hurt. other people do something they shouldn't do, and it comes back on us. You leave church, driving home, driving down the street, you're driving on the right side of the road, you're driving the speed limit, there's absolutely nothing wrong when you're driving and a guy runs a stop line, runs a stop sign, runs a traffic light, hits you at 40 miles an hour and you wake up at cone. You're suffering. You're in a crisis. You're in a problem because of the sin of somebody else. Because they were under alcohol, they were under drugs, they were texting, they were doing something illegal, and you suffer the consequences for their sin. Sometimes that happens in life. Sometimes we suffer because of other people's sin. Somebody at your workplace has it out for you. And they go after you with your boss and try to discredit you. Now, I know, students, I know you think that of all your teachers. But it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. Being on that other side of the day, it doesn't work that way. You earn what you get, you know. But sometimes in the workplace, people will go after you. They'll lie about you. They'll gossip about you, and you get hurt, and that hurt is real, and the pain that brings is real. And sometimes you lose a job over it, and that's not easy to deal with. I mean, Joseph's brother did a number on Joseph. I mean, look what he went through. And then even when he was in prison, they lied about him again. He goes back in prison. I mean, other people's sin. And Joseph probably felt like he was a pinball in a pinball machine being bounced all around the place. And what did he do? He walked with God. But because of other people's sin, he has to deal with the pain. He has to deal with the hurt. He has to deal with the disobedience. He has to deal with a part of life that he's not interested in dealing with. Things just happen. Sometimes we're disobedient. Sometimes other people sin and we get the result of it. And sometimes we're obedient and get the result of it. Turn back over to 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. For it's commendable for a man if he bears up under the pain of an unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and you endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Sometimes if we're willing to be faithful, if we're willing to be committed, if we're willing to walk with God in our daily life, that will bring problems in our lives. For a lot of us, try being honest at your work. See whether you don't get pressure and tension. Try being, truthful with other people, and see. Well, just obeying God, sometimes we have problems. A friend of mine was a trucker, and every time he would take somebody else's truck run when they were on vacation, he would get them in trouble because he would turn in an honest expense report and everybody else was cooking the books. And so every time the guy came back from vacation, the company started to notice You know, when Joe runs the truck route, it costs this much, and it's three times them, you know. And he started getting in trouble at work from his fellow truckers. Why? He was telling the truth. He was turning in an honest report. Sometimes obeying God means we're going to suffer. Go through the book of Acts. Over and over and over again, you have example of people who obeyed God and then were persecuted for their faith. It's happening all around the world today. There are people in North Africa today and in Tunisia. If they gather and meet together like we're doing, a small group of believers meeting together for worship and fellowship, and the police find out, then they go to jail because it's illegal to do what they're doing. But if they're obedient to God, they risk a crisis. They risk going to jail. So sometimes it's our obedience that causes hardships in our lives. Now, the hardships come. Okay, our choice. We can buy into the myths. We can buy into the fact that God loves me, but He's not all powerful. We can buy into the myths that are out there, and some of them are on Christian TV. We end up blaming God. We end up being mad at God. We end up having our relationship with God being eroded, and it drives us away from the relationship with God that God wants us to have. Or we can respond the right way to the trials that come. Responding the right way, God can even be more personal to us. We can see His power more directly. We can see Him being adequate to meet our needs in ways that we didn't think possible. In other words, the way we respond, we can give glory to God. Now, how can we respond in these situations? Well, if we're suffering because of our own disobedience, there's a really easy corrective. Confess the sin. Confess the disobedience. Now, you may still have to live with some of the results of the sin, but at least your relationship with God is restored. At least God can help you deal with the issue. You know, a very personal example of that was my mom grew up in an era where everybody smoked. And she did for a large part of her life. And she finally got to the point where she quit. And 15 years later, she got emphysema. Well, there's no cure for that. My mom and dad were living in our house with us. We had the oxygen tank and the tubes running all over the house. And you know, she confessed it. She was a believer. She confessed it through the help of my wife. She actually got to the place where she could forgive herself and the guilt that that brought upon herself for what she did to her own body. But she was forgiven, and her relationship with God was good, but the results of the disobedience, that continues. I mean, sometimes that's true in life. But if we're in trouble, if we have hardships because of disobedience, the answer is 1 John 1:9, that we confess our sin and our relationship with God is restored. If the sin comes to us because of other people's sin, Joseph, we just have to come to the point where we have to say, God, You are God. I trust You. You know what's best for me. You've allowed this to happen for whatever. But You can take these circumstances. You can develop my life. You can develop my character. And if I suffer because of the sin of somebody else, I just have to come to a deeper trust in the Lord. If things just happen because they happen. We live in a fallen world. We sin in a sin-cursed earth. Then we can go to God for comfort. We can go to God for wisdom. We can go to God for help. And God can and will be there for us. We just happen to have something happen to us that there really isn't any explanation for. If we have problems in our life because of our righteousness, if we have problems because of obeying God, then thank God for the privilege. Thank God for the privilege of entering in, as Paul would write in Philippians, into the suffering of Christ. That we were obedient, and God allowed this to happen, and we can praise God in the midst of this, like Stephen did when they were stoning him to death. He looked up into the heaven and said, "Thank you, Father. Thank you for the opportunity to give testimony. And this happens to me because of my faithfulness." And he died worshiping the Lord. How we react is going to either drive us away from God, or it's going to draw us to God. It's going to come to God and say, "Lord, take this life situation that I did not vote for. If it's not because of my sin, take this and use this to develop my character. Use this to develop my relationship with you. Use this to help me to depend upon you, and that you can use these life circumstances to conform me more to the image of Christ. You can use these life circumstances to produce more of the fruit of the Spirit in my life." How we react to what life brings our way depends upon where it comes from. And if there's a need to confess sin, then we need to confess sin. If there's a need to throw ourselves on the arms of God and just trust Him and say, "I'm yours no matter what, and you can use this in my life to draw me closer to you," then Father, that's my desire. Let's bow together. With our heads bowed, just take a couple of seconds of silence. And if you need to talk with the Lord or just relate to Him personally during this time, take this opportunity to do that.